Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. There, I hope everybody survived Valentine's Day. I know I did, but it's all good, good. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
What's up, buddy?
Nothing much. Like you said, survived Valentine's Day. Talk about it.
It's February the 15th. We're already over halfway through the month.
Can you believe it?
It's going by quick. And once you get older, the days really go by. Months. Man, years seem like months. But it's all good.
Yes, sir.
All right, awesome. Well, let's get it rolling then. Our sponsors today, we have the Belleville Meat Market, Bauman Marine Service, Boyd's One Stop, McLean Trailers, Mainstream Marketing, and Texan Roofing. Galveston right now, down on the island, 55 degrees down there. It feels like 52 with these east winds. A low east wind blowing this morning that makes it pretty cool across that water. But looking at today, they're throwing in about a 20% chance of rain. Cloudy skies today, high of 64. East winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. And tonight, they're upping that rain chance to about 50%. Maybe, 6-tenths of an inch, average. So not heavy rain, just that nasty stuff we really like. But overcast with rain showers, low of 61. East winds will be 10 to 15, then tomorrow looks like 20% chance, mostly cloudy, high of 68, winds will be northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour, so it's, here we go, getting ready for the next front to come in, nothing changes, and looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions, and it looks like we have a low that occurred at 3:20 a.m., it was a negative 0.3. And then we have a high coming up at 11:19 a.m. at 0.9, then a low at 4:31 p.m. at 0.7, then a high at 8:16 p.m. at 0.8. And looking at sunrise this morning, 6:58 a.m. and 6:08 p.m. will be sunset. Our moon phase is 63%. So days are getting longer, unfortunately. All right, El Dorado sites are all down this morning. Boy, what an inconsistent thing that is. I'm going to have to quit going to it and just stick with my fish weather. That's very aggravating. All right, looking at current winds here locally, Galveston North Jetty has a 17-mile-an-hour wind out of the east. Galveston Fishing Pier, 16. San Luis Pass, 14. And then on up into the complex up by Morgan's Point, we have a east wind at 11 down Matagorda Way, east at 9, 6, and 3, and then over Sabine Way, 10 out of the east, and Calcasieu, 10 out of the east. So pretty much what they're forecasting, 10 to 15. I think the buoy just outside's at 17 miles per hour, 22 nautical miles east of Galveston. So there you have it. All right, well, let's get to our phone lines and get her fired up this morning, get going, see what's up. And go over to Sabine Lake and talk to our good friend, Captain Bill Watkins, see what he's up to this morning. Good morning, Bill. How you doing?
Oh, man. Finding frog hair split three ways.
There you go.
I'll have to take that.
It's doing pretty good then.
Yeah. Still been a little bit windy to fish, but looks like it's going to straighten up here for a couple days now.
Yeah.
Then it's going to go back in the dumper again.
Yes, it is.
That's all right. I'm ready for the between the front thing. No problem.
Yeah, that's That's the problem.
You know, every year you get what I always call the February warm-up. There'll be about a 4 or 5 day period of real calm weather between the fronts, and it'll warm up. And boy, the fishing just gets progressively better every day. And I used to look forward to it, bass fishing or bay fishing either. And I hadn't seen it yet this year. I'm beginning to wonder if it's going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
Well, we're gonna all get, those pulses coming out of the northwest, they just keep coming across. Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
Somewhere along in there, it'll slow down and it'll give us a little breather.
Well, Wednesday and Thursday next week, all of next week, looks like pretty cool temperatures. You know,
yeah.
I think winter finally got here.
It finally got here, that's
you know?
Right.
Let's see, we have a front coming in next Tuesday with 40% chance of rain. It'll go from south winds to north winds at 25. Then Wednesday will be northeast. Thursday northeast, lows of 46, 44, then 39 on Friday. 37 on Saturday morning.
Man.
And 40 on Sunday morning. And then warming up from 51 to 70 next Monday, so... Yeah, we're kind of in that trend now. You get you a little window, you got to take advantage of it. Pop out
yep.
and fish when you can.
In 1 or 2 days, you can fish a week.
Oh, I know it.
Did you get to go last week?
No, I was going to fish Tuesday and Wednesday, and I let them have it.
Yeah.
Tuesday morning, I made the call. Well, we weren't going to plan on going out till about 7:30, 8 o'clock. And we looked at it real good, said, nah, it was foggy and misting and drizzly and northeast wind cutting pretty hard, you know, white capping cutting.
That's pretty much what I found out.
Decided not to go.
I thought about it, and I unthought about it.
Yeah, I didn't want to be wet and miserable all day.
That's, you know, it... It's not that you can't catch fish in that. It's just
no, you can't.
Why? Nobody wants to go. I'm just going to wait till the season gets going.
We had 6 to 8 pounders out there all over every street corner where you could go wade and catch fish like that. It'd be worth the bravery, you know, braving out the weather, putting up with the element. But, you know, just to go catch fish, I can do that anytime.
Yeah, we're just... We're piling up all the bookings. I'm stacking my bookings, you know, like from whenever it warms up. I got people waiting.
Yeah.
And I keep telling them, not yet, almost not yet. But then finally you have to go. But it'll warm up a little bit more, and then it'll get better. No sense being wet and cold. You know, when the summertime you get wet, it doesn't even bother you. But this time of year, it can be pretty doggone miserable out there. So we're just, I'm waiting for the right day to start.
You and everybody else.
Pretty sure I could catch fish. Sunday would probably be a good day. But if I can just beat the rain.
Yeah, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.
It's supposed to get up to about 74 on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I may go with my son bass fishing. But if somebody calls and wants to go, I'll have to do it.
Yeah.
Duty calls. What's the seawater temperature this morning?
Well, the sights were down this morning.
Oh, okay.
Where I get my water temps.
I think probably about 56.
Yesterday morning, 55 and 56. So it probably came down a little more, probably anywhere from 52 to 54.
Yeah.
We did have some sunshine yesterday, though.
That helped.
Yes.
That warmed the marsh.
Sure. And that's what I used to key on when I fished a lot over there, fish those drains over there on outgoing tide. and whatever time of day that occurred. And you could feel that while you're waiting, you could feel that warm water come out of those bayous along those shorelines. And, man, those fish yep. come with it.
Yeah, I watch my my depth finder real close on those days.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch that water warm up slightly, and pretty soon you'll get it up to about 58, 59, and, boy, they'll light off.
Yeah, here we go. I got some water temperatures for you. Now, this is over here, which, you know, you're pretty similar.
Pretty similar.
Pier 21 in Galveston there on the Galveston Channel, it's 59.4. Eagle Point, it's 55.9, and Morgan's Point is 59.5. So they did warm up a little bit with that sunshine yesterday.
Yep. Looks like they all. So that's pretty
normal water temperature for this time of year.
Yeah, it is.
It's right in there in the slot.
So, you know, barring a really bad cold front, it'll be fishable almost every day. That's great. Just dodge the rain. That's the trick.
This time of year,
it seems like all of my customers have got wise. They all want to start now about the end of February.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get anybody to go in January anymore. It's just like, even if there's a couple of pretty days in there, they just kind of like, no, let's just wait. And so we start stacking the trips up, and boy, once you start, though, it you know, there's no rest for the weary or the wicked either.
No, you just got to hit it hard and go with it.
Yep.
Well, you know, the longer these people fish with you, they start to think like you do, and they know what to look for and what to expect and all that.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, it's got to where last year we had a pretty severe flood situation. It started in mid-February.
Yeah.
And I couldn't hardly fish all the way till mid-April. I mean, I just sat around the house. I think I ran two trips. I just sat around the house, and when's this weather going to break?
Oh, no.
I mean, it was impossible. Raining. And I'm hoping it don't do that this year. At least we're just getting rains approaching the fronts now. But, boy, last year it was just, it got, the whole bay got fresh.
No,
of course, once it
happen,
fired off, all the fish were concentrated, and it was a massacre. It was just like fishing in a barrel if you had it figured out. But the patterns of where you would normally find fish in the spring, the early spring, it did not happen.
Right.
Fish were totally in a different position. I had to, but you know, after the last 4 years, I began to work out where they're going to be. It's not at all like it was 10, 20 years ago. Fish are in completely different areas.
Oh, I know. It's all changed, man.
Yeah, it's all changed. And if you don't roll with it, you better be on your toes looking for
you
fish all the
time. You can't
fight
it. You got to roll with it. You got to take what it gives you. You can't fight it and do what you think you should be doing.
That's right.
It just hadn't been there. Hang on, Bill. Let me do a commercial, and I'll come back to you, man.
All right, buddy.
All right. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. It's 419 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back to Bill Watkins over at Sabine. All right, Bill, we're back. Thanks for the hold.
All right, buddy. I'm here.
Well?
Yeah, my hot rod is hanging on the rod in the barn out there, ready to go. It's wanting to hook something. And the Lele's on the other rod, and it's hanging up there wanting to hook something. And I got a Corky on another one. It's waiting. And a Little John hanging on the other one. And if you just walk by those things close, they'll jump out and grab you by the leg. They're just like junkyard dogs.
Yes, sir.
They'll hook you anywhere you get close to them.
I've been you know, all week I've been replacing hooks on lures, and you know, you get just some of those baits that just, they work the way you want them to, and they run perfect, and I've done that with some Corkies and hot rods and Lilies, and been dipping tails. I've got me a batch of Purple Demons and went ahead and tail dip them, get them ready. I'm going to go to Baffin and fish Monday and Tuesday down in Corpus area, fish from Corpus down. So I've got all these lures and everything and just the way I want it, and I'll probably end up catching all my fish on one or two baits. But I won't be without what I need.
You got to have what you call defensive tackle.
Yes, sir.
Stuff you might need, but you're probably going to use two or three lures the whole time.
Well, I'm, you know, one of my buddies isn't going to one-up me and get them on something that I don't have, I can assure you
there
that.
There you go. Yeah, I'll tell you what, you know, I used to run into that a lot. There'd be one particular lure in a bunch, all the same color and everything, that would just outfish the others.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can't really figure out why that is. They look like they run the same, but, boy, there'll be one of them that'll just have that right it factor.
We were talking about that the other day with the hot rods. You know, a lot of people like to tie a direct on, not use a clip or anything. And with the hot rod, to get that really good swimming action out of it, put you a split ring on the nose of it, and then you can
That's
tie it direct.
That's how I do mine.
I've got a few with split rings and changed out hooks. You know, went to some triple grip mustads on some of the baits. In case you do hook a bigger fish, you'll get that good, you know, good grip and bite with that particular hook. And the strength also, strength's everything on those big fish, especially if they get a bait funny in their mouth and they get that leverage where the hooks are pulling against each other as the fish fights. You won't have that straight, you know, a hook straighten out on you and, you know,
yeah, that's right.
Cost you a big heartbreaking fish.
Yeah, I always prefer split rings over loop knots. Loop knot is not the strongest knot out there.
Well, you've got single line tied to it. And see, the regular knot I tie, you know, we just called it a double barrel knot back in the day. I think it's now it's called a improved clinch or a Berkeley trilene knot or whoever took claim for it. But back when I was a kid, we always tied this knot. You'll go through the eye, you know, and then back through it again, and that gives you two wraps of line on the base of that eye, that, you know, bait, and then wrap it around the line away from you. Depending on the size pound test line, you know, if you're using light line, wrap it about five times and go back through the loop away from you and grab the tag with your teeth and then cinch it down and snip it off. You know, it's been that and the Palomar knot are probably the two best, you know, direct tie knots that I've tied in my lifetime that are just foolproof.
I prefer to tie the trilene knot through it twice.
Two loops.
Wrap it three times and come back through the loop. That's a good simple knot, and I tested it on a knot strength machine.
Exactly.
Guy brought one to a bass club meeting years ago, and it would, when that line would snap, it would give you the exact poundage that it broke at. And we tested.
And the knot wouldn't break. It would always break above the knot, you know, the line itself.
Yeah. We tested the Palomar against the trilene, against the improved clinch knot, and the Palomar and the trilene come in neck and neck. They were both real strong because you got two pieces of line going through the eye of the hook.
Right.
And,
the only thing I don't like about the Palomar is you have too much tag in. You tie a bunch of knots in one day, you're out of line.
Yeah. Palomar takes a lot of line to tie. And then some of the smaller eyes of jig hook eyes, it don't want to double and go through.
Exactly.
And trilene, you can poke it through there a little easier because you're going one end at a time. And, you know, if it's too small, a lot of times I just tie an improved clinch knot. If you undo a improved clinch knot, cut it off and retie it about every other fish, you won't hardly ever have a break off. It works real well. All that stuff's pretty academic, but if you just pay attention, when he starts getting a little frayed, you know, and I throw 12-pound test most of the time
yeah.
in the bay. You know, if I'm throwing mono, I'm throwing 12-pound. And
that's me, 10 to 12. 10's a little bit light. If I'm fishing where I need to make a real long cast, then I'll grab a reel with 10 on it, you know, where you can really get that little bit extra distance with 10 versus 12.
Yep.
But, man, these new mono lines are so strong now. I mean.
Yeah, there's some good line out there.
Especially the Sensation I'm throwing. It has less stretch, and you have the feel similar to braid, but you don't have the memory. And, boy, it's strong. It's strong. Super strong.
Yep. Yeah, I've been using some line out of California called Izor, I-Z-O-R.
Yeah.
And I had to order it. And that stuff is, that's some pretty darn good line. They make a real good
cast good.
12, yeah. Slick. It's real slick. It's got a slick finish on it. Casts real good. And it's pretty abrasive resistant. It's not stiff at all, so it's.
Yeah.
I've been using that a lot, but there's other good lines out there. Like you say, the Burke Sensation's good. Trilene XT is all right, you know.
Yeah, that XT stands for extra tough. That stuff is tough. That and the Big Game are very similar, and then you got the XL. You know, the XL cast good. It's real smooth and slick, but it has a lot of stretch to it, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll hook a big red with that stuff, and he'll run 10 yards before the drag starts going out.
That's right.
Line that stretches what, so much.
That's what I kind of – I like the XL, like 6-pound test for crappie.
Yeah.
Because it's such fine, limp line.
Forgiving.
Yeah, it is. It's really good. But, you know, there's different lines for different things. And I do use fluorocarbon occasionally. If I'm throwing braid, I'm going to put a 12, 14-pound fluorocarbon leader on it. And I know a lot of guys like to use 25-pound leader. But I do it the other way because I don't like breaking off that expensive braid. If my leader's lighter than the braid, it breaks first.
Right.
So I've got some unorthodox ways. I guess if people tell me I'm cheap, and they're probably right about that.
Braid is not cheap. But that's what I like about that improved clinch, you know, like you and I like to tie. Braid ties real good with that. That's what we tied back when we had to fish with braided Dacron line before monofilament came out.
That's right.
And it always did good with braided Dacron. And, you know, the braid now is very similar to that. It's a lot better casting. Of course, we didn't have the reels back then to put it on to even know if it would cast as good.
That's true.
Because, you know, we had all those direct drive reels and no star drags. And, boy, I remember starting out fishing. It was hard to, you know, it was hard to teach a kid how to fish when he'd throw, the reel handle would turn backwards when you'd cast out, and the level wind would be going back and forth, and that slowed the reel way down and your lure distance. And we've come a long way in a short while.
Boy, really we have. I'll tell you, during my lifetime, I've seen tackle change way for the better.
Sure.
But, you know, the best equipment, I think, the best rods and the best reels were produced about 20 years ago. They held up well, and they, you know, like the old gold Kronark.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that Kronark gold?
All those.
I mean, you can wear that thing out.
No.
And the ones are making now, they're just as slick, but they don't hold up as well.
Well, they've gotten lighter.
The internal
components are different, and you've got to really take care of your equipment now versus back then.
Yep. Yeah.
Everybody wants lighter. You know, and if I get
I want lighter too. I mean.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you spend all day chunking and winding, I mean, it makes a difference at the end of the day. Can you imagine fishing as hard as we do now with all that World War II stuff we grew up fishing with, we'd look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. We'd be all buffed
that's
out.
That's right. Had a forearms like Popeye.
That's it. Everybody'd be a Popeye. All them old broomsticks and heavy rods with old steel reel seats on them and big old heavy reels.
Yeah, I grew up
all day.
I had a 1944.
Yeah, winding baits, you know, like mirror lures and plugging shorties and bingos and stuff. But now with all the action you have to put on these baits to work them properly, it'd kill you fishing all day with that stuff.
Yeah, it would.
All right. Well, Bill, I got to break it loose here. If somebody wants to call you and come over to Sabine and fish with you this year, what's a good way to get a hold of you, man?
409-786-2018.
rfishsabinelake.com.
Yes, sir.
All right, my friend. Bill, have a good weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Are you going to Baffin this next week?
I'm leaving tomorrow.
All right. Catch a big one.
Heading down. I'm going in search of.
Oh, great deal, man.
All right, buddy. See Bye-bye. You, man. Take care. All right. That's Captain Bill Watkins over at Sabine Lake. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 438 in the Bayou City. Let's run up Conroe now and check in with Richard Tots, the fish dude, this morning. See what, check his pulse. What's up, Richard?
Not a lot, Mickey, not a lot. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm always good, brother. You know that. Looks like they got a little, I think it's Bass Nation tournament going on this morning. Good night. They're already out here. This probably the parking lot's almost quarter full already. It's this early in the dying morning. I can't believe all these bass guys are out here. But these Bass Nation deals, if that's what it is, I think that's what they're trying to look like. There'll be 300-400 of them out there today bass fishing.
And what did you say their trailers? How do you know by looking at their trailers? What kind of boats are they running?
Well, you can tell by the trailers. I'm talking about they've got the weigh-in trailer set up over here.
Oh, okay.
And I thought I saw it say Texas Bass Nation on there. So I think it's the Bass Nation over here. That's what I think it is. They come over about once a year, and I think they've already been to Rayburn and stuff. So they go to Rayburn here and then several other places that they go to. So I can't believe they're here this early in the morning, though. That's what's kind of strange, because normally about 5 o'clock, that's whenever everybody starts showing up. And when I say the parking lot's about a quarter full, this parking lot, just the area that's designed for parking alone, hold about 80 boats. So there's probably at least 20, 25 here already.
Yeah.
And there's more on the way. So this parking lot's fixing to be full here pretty dang quick.
Well, I wish them luck today. Hope they catch them up.
You know, it's going to be a pretty day. I think we're going to be basses. We're going to be trying to mix everything, I think, today. But it's going to be a pretty day out anyway. And I'm pretty sure them dang bass ought to bite pretty good. The weather's been the past couple of days. We've had that north wind and everything. And I hadn't been fishing for them that much. I fished for them Sunday. And there's been 2 or 3 days this week I fished for them. And they're real sluggish right now. That's one of the funny things that I've noticed about the change over the past, say, 3 weeks with the largemouth. You know, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, you throw a crankbait out there. Whenever they'd bite it, they would bite it. I mean, they'd hit it, you'd know it. They'd thump it pretty hard. Now, you throw that same crankbait out there in the same spot, and I don't know if it's the same fish or not, but you can throw it out there and drag it through, and he'll say, dang, what is that? You think you're hung up, and it's all of a sudden it goes to jumping.
Yeah, it'd be a fish on there, yeah.
I mean, it's the funniest thing, too, because it's, you know, normally, and like I say, the transition when it happens, and I know what it is, that water temperature, when it cools down real fast, it can put them in a little bit of a funk and got them in a shock or whatever. And so it's kind of shocked them. And then they're not going very far to eat bait. They're not really chasing them. But if you get them in front of them, they'll eat them, you know. And it's like I say, it's just a real funny bait. You're not even, you know, if you crank bait fish like I do, I know a lot of guys, Carolina rig fish. And I was going some Carolina rigs the other day, too. And I had, you know, it's a funny bite of a Carolina rig. It's more like a dang brim bite, you know. It's more of a rapid fire thing. You bump it along there, what the heck is that? And I said, and go, dang. Got to pull on it, and they'll let go, and you got to fiddle with them a little bit, and then finally they'll eat it. So.
Yeah, you look like you don't have much wind up there this morning.
Yeah, it's really not bad this morning. I mean, it should be a great day. I think there's a few clouds in the sky, and that would be.
Yeah, it's going to be a little cloudy today.
Yep, so you keep that pressure down. You know, I think it's going to be a pretty heavy-weighted day as far as these guys are concerned. I'm not 100% sure, but I know, you know, there's a couple fellas I see over here. Albert Collins, he's been over here all week long. So I think this is a lot of East Texas stuff, mainly over at Rayburn and Toledo and stuff like that. Yeah, Albert Collins and him and Harold Allen used to fish together a lot. You know Harold, don't you?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I don't know what Harold's doing now. I know they kind of split ways as far as team tournament stuff, but everything else, I don't know. Harold's been around so dang long. I can't believe that Russell's still fishing. He kind of like all of us, though.
Well, at least the barometer's falling this morning. It was up to about, I don't know, 30.35 to 37 inches yesterday, and now this morning it's like 30.26, so it is on the fall.
That's perfect. I mean, like I say, I'm sitting here looking at these clouds. Now, the upper level looks like the wind's moving pretty good because the clouds are moving along pretty quick. But
yeah, the wind's up high up there. On the ground, it doesn't show much. Now, here on the coast, it's blowing pretty good. 12 to 15 out of the east.
You know, that's what's kind of strange. It's y'all, and I don't know where that wind line stops down there, but y'all always get that south or southeast, west wind, whatever. And it's no matter what time of year, you're always going to get it. It's very rarely y'all find it dead calm down there. Up here, you can have a 20 mile an hour wind blowing down there, and up here it'd be like 5, 8. And it's like, you know, where's all that dang wind coming from? And then later on in the day, it kind of kicks in up here. So it's kind of funny to watch how that wind kind of moves around and stuff. And it hangs right on the coastline. I think it mainly hangs from South Houston to the coast. Because once you get to North Houston, the wind kind of quits.
Yeah, there's definitely a differential there.
Yeah, and then it's like these rainstorms over here on the lake in the summertime. They move right up to the dam and then they stop. I mean, you can be sitting just north of the dam on the lake, and you'll see a big thunderstorm coming. And as soon as it gets to the dam, or around 1488, boom, it stops. It's
it
over.
It tears it apart. It's that coolness off that water from the lake. It shreds it. I watch that on the bay out here at my house all the time in the summer.
That's funny, isn't it? I mean, it's because you sit there and go, oh, we're fixing to get flooded and not even get a drop. But it's all good. And then the hybrids, I've been starting to catch a few hybrids pretty good too. They're getting smaller on me, but I noticed, was it yesterday? Day before yesterday. The ones we caught were all male fish. So I've been in this spot where I've been catching these 8-pound females and stuff, and they disappeared, and I'm catching all males now. So I got to go run down where the females went. They're around there somewhere. I just got to find them. Because them big rascals, that's what I was looking for the other day. And we got three of them, and we didn't fish for them, but we probably fished for them maybe 45 minutes. So they're starting to pick on up. I think that wind got them kind of active and all that good stuff.
Well, awesome, man. Well, good luck out there with all the boats today, you know. That's...
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, we're going to go get them. There ain't no doubt.
Well, Richard, if somebody wants to come up to Conroe and get in the boat with you, what's a good way to get a hold of you? Best way?
Well, Mickey, you want to get in touch with me, 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dude Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right. Well, Richard, good luck today. Looks like you got a pretty day for it. So.
Well, I appreciate it. Y'all have fun.
Get them while they're hot. All right, buddy.
All right, brother.
All right. See you, man. All right.
All right, bye.
All right, that's the fish dude, Richard Totch, up on Conroe. Now we're going to go down to Matagorda and talk to Captain Charlie Paradosky this morning. Charlie, good morning. What's up?
Morning, Mickey. What's happening?
Good morning, sir.
Well, still got some wind today, huh?
Yeah, east. It's not real bad.
I fished yesterday, Mickey, and I had wade fishermen, and we went at 10, and we were going to fish till dark. They finally had all they could take about 4:30, but it wasn't no clear water. I found one stretch of one long stretch of clear, not clear, fishable water.
Fishable, yeah.
Yeah, I think we had like 6 reds and 3 trout, and felt like that was a good day after that mess.
Right.
I didn't even fish. I stayed in the boat and just kept my stayed behind them, patrolling motor. But now I got a boat fish today, and I don't know what to do.
You know, all y'all's wind down that way, it's more kind of north and northeast, what little wind y'all have. Now up here, everything is east and a lot stronger in the Galveston area and over towards Sabine.
It would have to go dead calm. It would have had to went dead calm last night for that water to clear up.
Yeah.
That whole bay was chocolate melt. Chocolate melt.
The highest wind I see down the coastal bend through there is at Port Aransas Pier, 13 miles an hour out of the northeast. The rest of it's anywhere from 5 to 6, 7 miles per hour. Now, there is a 10 there at the Aransas Wildlife Refuge out of the northeast, but we've got a little more wind over this way, 13, 15, 16. Out of the east, and you guys. I see that a lot lately. We'll have, you know, a 15 or 20 mile an hour wind, and y'all have about a 10 over there. I remember one day Hillman went over there, and y'all were all fishing. Y'all whacked them, and we're fighting a 20 mile an hour wind, and y'all were begging for more wind.
Yeah, I see that a lot. I don't know why.
Weird. Used to be just the opposite. Used to y'all have a lot more wind than we would up here. The coastal bends moved.
Yeah, well, where that wind starts is really on the other side of Port O'Connor, like at Rockport and all the way down, you know. But, no, sometimes
yeah, I'm sure
like
Monday
that,
but I'll be fishing in 30-mile-an-hour winds down there in Corpus.
Yeah, but it doesn't make any difference. You're going to catch them anyway, you know that.
That's right. It don't matter down there.
No, especially going with Cliff, too. Y'all ought to have a good time.
We will. There'll be some good conversation going on.
Yeah. What are you going with, Trevino and them?
Yeah. David and Tony and Mark Hughes from over at Calcasieu's going with us, and a couple of David's good customers. Old Diesel Dan, and I forget who the other guy is that's going. We're going to have 2 boats, so it's going to be fun. We'll have a good time.
Ought to be a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've seen some good fish come from over there lately.
Yeah, it's that time of year.
Yeah. See, next week we have that. They have a Legends tournament out of Freeport, which you know every boat's going
to
be right over.
They're
going
to come to your backyard. You bet.
Yeah. And they're going to be out there looking today. I saw one taller boat going up and down the shorelines yesterday.
Doing a little burning.
Oh yeah.
Got to burn.
But it was a mess out there yesterday. You know, the tides had been real low, and it came up a little bit. So, you know, it takes a day for that to really get right. And then you had a real high barometer and kind of hoping for the wind to lay in the afternoon. And instead of laying, it picked up more.
Right.
So it was a mess. But there wasn't anybody fishing. A couple of the red fishermen went out yesterday, Keith Phillips and Brett Sweeney, and they messed the redfish up. They said it was as good as it gets, but other than that, there wasn't anybody fishing. And I don't blame them. It was pretty raw.
Yeah. It was up this way.
Yeah,
I didn't
buddy.
Want any.
No, I didn't really either, but I had my arm twisted, so we went. Now I got boat fishing today, and I guess I'll be seeing what that river does. Intercoastal diversion.
Well,
I just don't see how that bay could clear up. Not after what I saw yesterday. Not that quick.
Well, the water cooled down quite a bit, and that that'll help if it stayed calm. You know, if it went calm, stayed calm all night. I know it went calm at my house. You know, at sundown. Now, when I got up at 2 o'clock, it was puffing pretty good out of the east. So,
yeah.
So I'm sure it came up again after midnight.
Yeah.
All you can do is go look, Charlie. It's all you can do, man.
I don't know what the water temperature is. My GPS, I got this new GPS, and I can't get it set right. My graphics aren't as good as it was in that Gen 3 that I had.
But it's not showing the water temp?
Nope. No, I got it set up to show, and it's not showing.
Huh.
You know, I told them I wanted
to. You didn't change transducers, did you?
Yeah. I told them I always put that transducer glassed in through the hull, and they didn't do it. They put it on externally. I don't like that part of it.
Well,
it's a new boat. Everything's new on it.
Yeah. Unless, you know, that transducer doesn't have a temperature probe in it. But it should.
It's some new type of deal hanging off the back. It's supposed to be the newest, best thing out there. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I keep playing with it. Go into your settings and see if you can get it to work.
Yeah. Other than that, man, we'll see what we can do today.
Well, you're up against it. At least you're in the right place.
Yeah.
Could be worse. You could be fishing up here with bad conditions.
Well, a few years ago, that would have been good.
Well, yeah, it would have had.
Yeah,
a little
yeah.
different now. But we're slowly coming back. It's going to take time, but Galveston will regain its status and respect along the Texas coast before long. We'll get it going again.
I can't wait. It'll spread some of these people out.
You got that right.
Yep.
Get them all back up here. I love company.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, Charlie, good luck today. Hope you stumble up on them. I know you will. But if somebody wants to call you about coming down to Matagorda and hook it up with you, give them a number, bud.
713-725-2401.
All right, my friend. Charlie, have a good day. Good luck to you, man. Break a leg.
Take care, Mickey.
All right, buddy. Take care. All right, that's Captain Charlie Paradosky in Matagorda.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.